You're listening to this week's episode of Macquarie Street Matters, a podcast about the personalities and events in the New South Wales Parliament here in Sydney with Alistair Hinskins. Well, this week on Macquarie Street Matters, it's my great privilege to have Chase Birch as my special guest. Chase is a constituent of mine, but also someone that I met back in 2019. We'll talk a little bit about the circumstances in which you came up to me at a railway station in a wheelchair. I'll just leave people thinking a little bit about that. But Chase, one of the reasons that we're doing this podcast and we've called it Macquarie Street Matters is because government and politics do have an impact on people's lives, and that's something that I want to explore a little bit with you in this podcast. But let's go back to before 2019 when we first met. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself? Why were you in a wheelchair in 2019? What had happened in your life before that?
Yeah, so I was born in 2006 with a spina bifida, and pretty much summarize that, just my legs aren't as strong as the average Joe. And because of that, I can still walk. I'm still fortunate enough to be relatively mobile, but at the same time, for long distance, so public transport, going out and about, working, I use a wheelchair.
And what was your life like, you know? I think I met you, you were in about year eight at school when we first met. What was your life like before that?
Yeah, so during primary school, I didn't have a wheelchair. As I was still younger, I could just walk, use crutches, things like that. But at the start of high school, I got a wheelchair for the first time. Still able to walk bits and pieces, but going from school to home and home to school, vice versa, I'd use a wheelchair. I was pretty limited with my independence and my freedom at the time. Living next to Warrawee Station, but there was no lift. Couldn't really hop on the train, go see mates, do things like that. But
did you play, I think you have at some stage in your life, we were talking about you playing wheelchair tennis. Were you doing any sports in primary school, you know, wheelchair sports at that stage or not?
Yes, yeah, so I was involved with Wheelchair Sports New South Wales, which is an organisation to help anyone in a wheelchair play sports, be active, things like that. So I was playing wheelchair basketball under the New South Wales Blues during primary school, and that also slowly started getting into wheelchair tennis under athlete contracts with Tennis Australia, things like that. So I started doing that in primary school, and I did that for, I stopped playing wheelchair basketball after primary school, and I progressed in wheelchair tennis for about most of my high schooling life.
I actually played some wheelchair basketball as sports minister. I was invited along to Narrabeen. They have a camp every year.
Yeah, the Christmas camp.
Yeah, exactly. And so I got to play a bit of basketball and see the program, and it looks like it's a fantastic program.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I guess that gave you the opportunity to, I guess, engage with other people who were also in wheelchairs and just get to know them.
Absolutely, yeah. Connect with lots of people, same disability, different disability. There's wheelchairs there, so someone who may have a disability who can't afford a wheelchair, things like that, they could come, be involved, be in a wheelchair, be, everyone's at the same level. So for example, if I'm at school playing with my friends at lunch, running around, I'd be in a wheelchair, everyone else would be running, right? They tried to include me, but it wasn't that level. But at the wheelchair sports camps, everyone's on the same level. Really fun, just really getting involved.
My observation of you is that you are a very social person and that you seem to have a lot of mates, and that high school was a good experience for you.
Absolutely.
Was that a big improvement on primary school?
Absolutely.
Like, yeah. And what was it then that made that improvement?
That's a good question. Yeah, I definitely struggled socially in primary school. I'm not sure, there's obviously everyone's kind of finding themselves end of primary school, beginning of high school, but I'd say around year 9, year 10, I really started to find a good group of mates. You know, I was very scared going into high school, being the only disabled kid in a year of 400 plus people, what people are going to think of me, this and that. And I was very insecure about it for a while, but I still am, but I just know that I've got a good social group around me, lots of friends from Knox, Ravenswood, lots of different schools. I've connected with people, and to me, that's all that matters.
So when we met in 2019, I had fought for a number of years to try and get lifts in our local railway stations because, to be honest, a lot of the drive for that was not so much people like you with a disability, but actually people who were old and had mobility issues, because as you know, there are a whole lot of stairs at our 100-year-old railway stations that where they were built without people having mobility issues in mind, families with prams and the difficulty of negotiating those up and down the stairs. So there was a whole group of people with the community who had been asking me consistently for us to get lifts in our railway stations. And then finally, I'd been able to convince the ministry to support some lifts in our local railway stations. And I'd actually made up these corflets saying that a lift is coming to this railway station in the sort of lead up to the 2019 election. And that's when you came up to me. And it was actually, for me as a politician, it was actually a really important moment because, you know, you had sort of gone out of your way to say, this is really going to make a difference in my life. So having that lift at Warrawee Station near where you live, how has that changed your life?
In a way, I could say that everything that like I've kind of achieved and accomplished is because of that lift to a certain extent. If it wasn't for that, I wouldn't have been able to build up my independence, like using public transport by myself, right? There's obviously, like there's the station masters that have the ramps and stuff, but I've figured out a way to do that with my chair without assistance. So I'm fully independent. Like I can get to uni by myself. I work part-time at Rebel Sport. I can go see mates. I studied for the HSC at Gordon Library, do all those things, achieve everything that I have with my HSC and my financial growth and my studies now. All of that is because I've been able to get to a train station, which you'd think is just a basic thing that everyone should be able to have. But yeah, everything that I have nowadays stems back to just having more accessibility.
Now, when finally, I think 2 years later, the lift was installed at Warrawee, I invited you and Alex Richter, who was another guy at your school who unfortunately had a mountain biking accident and became a quadriplegic. So you both came along to the opening. And we had some nice banter, and I met your parents, which was lovely as well. I remember saying to your mother that, you know, we're going to have a lift at Pymble as well, and that might, you know, give you a bit of an opportunity to go down to you know, see some of the girls at PLC. But you actually had a different angle on it. Do you remember that?
Yes, I said that I just can't wait for the lift at Wurrunga to be installed so I could just go get Chagu Charlie's.
And my son was such a big fan of Chagu Charlie's at the time. So I could completely relate to that and understand that. But also the social opportunities. Mm. Like that to me was an insight into the social opportunities that this was going to unlock for you.
Absolutely.
Which as a teenager is so incredibly important to your personal growth, isn't it?
And on the Pymble lift as well, getting that installed has allowed me, the Knox offers a program, Positive Relationships with PLC. Bunch of Knox kids meet with a few PLC girls a few times a term, and we organise how to build the connections between one another. Sometimes we go to their school to talk about it. Sometimes they come to us. I wouldn't have been able to go to their school to do those activities if it wasn't for having the lift installed at Pymble as well.
I must say my recollection was that your mother was far more enthusiastic about you going to PLC than the Char Girl Charlie's, but they're both important.
Yes.
Now, just going back to your family and your upbringing, your mother seemed to be an incredibly sort of vivacious person with a great personality. But I think she's got a bit of an interesting background too, hasn't she?
Yes, indeed, yeah. Her parents fled from Iran during the Iranian Revolution. My mum was born in Nigeria, Africa. And then shortly after, she moved to Melbourne and she was raised in Melbourne, went to school there. And then shortly after, met my dad, who's from New Zealand.
Less exotic.
Yes, indeed. And they moved and lived in China for 5 years, from 2000 to 2005. Wow. And then they came back and had me. And yeah.
And I think you've got two younger sisters.
I have a five-year-old sister and a seven-year-old sister currently at Wurrunga Prep.
Was there a bit of Taylor Swift excitement in your family in the last couple of weeks?
Yes, absolutely. Around June last year, it was a high tense in the family. Everyone was counting on me to get the tickets, and I clutched through, got four tickets.
Oh, so, well done. Okay, yeah. A lot of pressure.
Yeah, all on me. But yeah, on Monday, took my mum and sisters to Taylor Swift. Yeah.
And who do you most admire in life?
I've got a few, I'd say, people that I kind of look up to. Main one would have to be my dad, definitely. You know, he's been through a lot as a child, lots of childhood trauma and things like that, and he's been able to persevere and make the family that he has today with us. His financial success and all that things, and him being able to put me in the school that I went to, my sisters, the childcare and the education that they're now in, is I'm forever grateful for him, and I look up to him. Hopefully I can be half the man that he was one day.
That's awesome. And obviously you've had a very positive experience at school too.
Yes.
So those choices that he's been able to make have been winners for you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And What do you feel about our local area? Do you love the feel of our local area?
Absolutely. I love it. I'm very happy there. Yeah. I've grown up most of my life on the North Shore. Started at Macquarie Park, went to South Tamara, went now in Warrawee. It's just been so happy the entire time. It feels like such a large community.
A beautiful tree-lined area, great wildlife and beautiful heritage houses.
Absolutely. What's been happening with Chris Minns and this whole housing thing that I've hearing in Wirunga?
Yeah, so there's a proposal now to change all the densities throughout Sydney. And the proposal is that areas like the Wirunga Village, which has a zoning called E1 where shops are, that can be turned into 6 or 7 storey apartments, which would dramatically change the whole feel of the village.
Yeah, I mean, the Wirunga Village is like our central. It's like the whole community. That's where everyone goes for breakfasts in the mornings, things like that. Take my sisters to get sushi after school. Like, yeah,
it's pretty unique too, because most of the shopping areas are on the Pacific Highway, whereas the Wirunga Village is in this nice little special place.
Yeah, wouldn't want to see that gone.
And it's been like that for 100 years.
Forever.
And is a kind of a unique shopping area. Absolutely. And one of the things that I've said is that there is this, uniform way in which, for example, Westfield shopping centres all look the same, that we don't have character areas as much anymore as we used to. And I think it's incredibly important to retain the character of our city. And these changes are going to really destroy that.
Absolutely.
You're now in first year uni.
Yep.
And what are you studying and how's that going?
Yeah, so only a few weeks ago, I started studying a Bachelor of Media and Communications, majoring in PR and social media at Macquarie University. And so far, I'm loving it. I'm not too far into content yet. It's only just about to go into week 3, but the social life has been great. I mean, I've already found a good group of people, a few people from my Knox group from school and a few people I've just met through university, and we've become a good group doing stuff outside of university times and things like that. Just, yeah, Macquarie University was my first preference in this course, and I'm very fortunate to be able to go there.
And you have a degree of mobility, because I remember at a Knox cadet parade seeing you marching around the field, which I thought was, I'd never seen you outside of a wheelchair, so I was kind of interested in that, yeah. but thought that was great. But is that physically hugely demanding for you to be able to do that?
Look, yes and no. I mean, my wheelchair is obviously a big part of my life. Where I'm going, I take my wheelchair, whether it's to the mall or to the library, things like that, I take my wheelchair with me. But if I'm walking around a classroom, walking around a library, excuse me, I can just walk normally, which I'm very fortunate to do, because there's not a lot of other people out there with my disability that can do that. And that's because I've been able to keep up my health to a certain extent by playing my sports, using the gym and doing cadets as well. Keeping up my physical mobility whilst being hard has allowed me to be able to continue to walk.
Right. So spina bifida is a condition where you really need to keep quite fit.
Absolutely.
To be able to do those things. Yeah. And so what are you doing now in terms of fitness? What are the sorts of things? Do you go to the gym?
Yeah. So I've got a membership at the Macquarie University gym. Mm-hmm. Great facilities. And I just go there a few times a week, just staying fit, staying healthy.
Now, what are the things that gives you greatest, enjoyment in life? What are the things that you really enjoy doing?
Well, at the moment, I'm kind of starting a bit of personal content creation for my own brand, and I'm really enjoying that, just doing videos out and about in Sydney, North Shore, things like that. That's kind of something I hope to grow one day, but for now, I'm just having fun with it. Working as well has been a big part of my life. The team I have at the Rebel Sport that I work at is just amazing. It doesn't even feel like work. It feels like I'm just going there and I'm hanging out with people that I really enjoy being around. And having a casual employment as someone in a disability is very, very hard. You know, I applied for probably hundreds of jobs throughout year 11 and 12, and this Rebel Sport and Macquarie Centre was the only job to ever contact me back. There's lots of disabled people I know that are just unable to find jobs, unfortunately, and just go on Centrelink pensions and things like that. And you know, I just try to live as normal as a life as possible. I could just go on a pension and just kind of do that, but I just want to, keep the regular routine going on.
So, Chase, that is an issue that a lot of... I was disability minister actually after we met, so it was... and after we opened that lift in 2020. So actually talking to you and Alex, I remember that day we had a really good conversation. Alex had some really good ideas about how we could improve the railway system to engage with people with a disability. But when I became disability minister, the whole question of people with a disability getting employment was a big issue, and it still is a big issue.
Absolutely.
And for example, the state government has a number of targets for the number of people with a disability that they will hire, but they're not hitting those targets, and corporations are the same. Have you got any ideas at this stage on how we can improve that? I mean, the notion that you had to apply for hundreds of jobs to be able to get a casual job is particularly concerning. What do you think? Do you think people just need to be more open-minded about hiring someone with a disability?
Yeah, absolutely. But at the same time, I don't blame a manager for potentially seeing a wheelchair on a resume and being a bit like taken aback at first. I have an idea of there being some kind of agency where a disabled person would go to and say, look, this is what I can do, this is what I can't do, on top of their credentials and their experience and things like that, a separate thing that kind of explains what they can and can't do. And then someone on behalf of them that may have connections to different employments would contact a manager or something like that to be like, look, I have a person who may be interested in a job. This is what they can do. This is what they can't do. Is there something you can offer? Because at the moment, for example, on Indeed or Seek, those job seekers, there's not really a lot of like me being able to explain. Like I can explain that I have a disability, but it doesn't really give me the opportunity to say, but I can still do all of this. It kind of limits me. So then managers going through my resumes is, oh, great credentials, oh, wheelchair, this disability, oh, pretty hit and miss.
I mean, you strike me as having a great personality. I could imagine that you would be a great person to have in your organisation. I'm assuming that everything's going really well at Rebel Sport.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, I'd hope so.
And it's a growing experience for you too, isn't it? I mean, everyone that gets a job, you're having to interact with people in a different way than you do at school or whatever. It's all part of growing as a person, as well as obviously earning some money, which gives you other opportunities.
Yeah.
And what about working do you most enjoy?
That's a good question. Probably no customer's the same. No not really a problem, but no interaction would be the same. One person wants this, one person wants that. And to some extent that seems so minor, but it gives you like critical thinking skills and things like that. So they want this product, our store doesn't have it, we recommend this store for them to go to, things like that. And it's just every customer has a different story, and it's just interesting to find out about new people.
Awesome. And so what do you do in your spare time now, other than work and go to university?
Sure, yeah. Look, very social at the moment, I say. Just try and hang out with friends as much as possible, but I also do love a bit of gaming from time to time.
You're a young man. You know that goes without saying.
Of course.
And what are your dreams? What are your aspirations for the future?
Yeah. So career wise, I'd love to get into content creation as a full time job, whether that's for a personal brand or on behalf of other brands. So like when you see big businesses on social media, there's obviously a team or a person behind that runs those social media accounts. That's the dream job for me. In all honesty, I'd love to be a part of that somehow. But
and so you're doing your own social media to build those skills?
Yes,
and
I am, yes.
Yeah, and trying to have a bit of fun about it too,
of course,
great.
Of course.
And what about, from a government perspective, what more do you think we can be doing? Are there things in transport, things in schools? What are the sorts of things, as someone that is an expert on the area, because it's, because you have to integrate and deal with different environments, what are the things that sort of occur to you that could be improved or changed?
Yeah, look, I mean, personally, I say I'm pretty adaptable, right? So if I run into a problem, for me, it's not that big of a deal. I can sort out a way around it, whether it's carry my chair up something. But I still notice things such as just pavements, things like that. I find that sometimes there's just steps to get on the streets and there's literally no like indent ramp to get off, like a gutter, things like that. And also I find at the moment, I'm not sure what's been going on, but train stations I keep going to, the lifts just aren't working. And it's sometimes you go on to a train, then go to the next station and then come back. So then you're on the other platform and that works. But sometimes it's just a station with one lift, such as Warrawee, Warunga, things like that. There's no lift. I can go up the stairs with my chair. I can carry it. But there's a lot of people who probably use those stations every day and there's no workaround. So I find with some stations as well, like Gordon and Linfield, there's exits from the stations, like without using a lift, like there's entrance and exits right there on the road. And I feel like more stations need to have that as well. That would, I'd say, be the biggest thing, not having a lift as the only way to get onto a station.
So do you think we need to think a lot more about design in terms of how we're designing these public spaces?
Absolutely, yeah, definitely.
And what about in terms of getting on and off and having the ramps and so on? Is that working well? I remember Alex sort of saying to me back in 2020 that there could be improvements, that they can't, you can't always be seen on the platform and so on. Have they done anything to address that?
Yeah, look, so I don't actually use the ramps. I can go without it, but they're definitely more assertive with making sure they support disabled people. So every time I'm on a station master will be, do you need a hand? Where are you off to? I'll be like, all good, I don't need a hand, but every time. So they've, which is obviously good, that's their job.
Yeah.
But very more assertive. They're keeping an eye out, things like that. There's also like the lanyards that you can wear. Obviously, a big part of what we've discussed is people with invisible disabilities who may need accessibility requirements, things like that aren't seen because they just look like the average Joe. But there's lanyards with sunflowers on it you can now wear, and station masters are trained to know to look out for that, ask them if they need a hand with anything, things like that. So there's definitely been major improvements, absolutely.
Well, that's good. So things are getting better, but there's still a lot
of course.
There's still a lot to be done. And is that something that you would that you're interested in, you know, advocating for and being a bit of an advocate for?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And do you think that in your future engagement with social media, that's something that maybe you can do?
Of course,
yeah. And is there anything else that you would, you know, like to raise or talk about?
Look, what I said earlier, just kind of with pavements and cracks and things like that in the roads, sometimes there'll be a street that's sectioned off, and then in that sectioned off bit, there's like the ramp to get up on a street, and it's like there's no workaround with that. And also just things with lifts, making sure lifts are more reliable, things like that. Another big thing is certain train stations, for example, my one, Warrawee, on the weekends, there's no station masters, only weekdays. I know like Chatswood and Central and all the bigger stations do have it, but I start to think about people with prams or wheelchairs, how are they getting on trains on the weekends? So that's another big thing. I think there needs to be a station master employed on the station almost at all times.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, that's all great. They're great ideas and great feedback. And look, I'm enormously confident that you're going to have a great life ahead of you and achieve really things. And I think you'll be someone that we'll be looking to in the years ahead and not be surprised when you do something pretty amazing. So thank you very much for being my guest this week on Macquarie Street Matters. And I really appreciate that you've been willing to talk about the things that we have today.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Chase.
I hope you've enjoyed this week's episode of Macquarie Street Matters, and I look forward to you joining us again next week.